Communication and relationships in care practice. At the heart of good care practice are genuine, warm, helping relationships. But what do these consist of? Fundamental to a helping relationship is communication. Communication is commonly defined as the imparting or interchange of thoughts, opinions, or information by speech, writing, or signs. Communication can be verbal, words, either spoken, written or signed, or non-verbal, body language, eye contact, tone of voice and so on. Non-verbal communication also includes symbolic communication, referring to aspects of presentation and behaviour. For example, you can convey messages through the way you dress, or your punctuality, or the kind of environment you help to create. Aspects of non-verbal communication enter verbal communication, so that it's not so much what is communicated, but how something is communicated that's important. Showing interest and enthusiasm through what you say combine both verbal and non-verbal aspects of communication. Listening is an extremely important part of communication. Among the main reasons for misunderstanding someone is not listening effectively to what that person is communicating. Listening goes beyond interpreting what is communicated verbally and includes noticing the way information is communicated. It requires concentration, an open mind, and a lack of any kind of prejudice. Underpinning communication and relationships in care practice is the Code of Practice for Social Service Workers, SSSC 2002. The Code of Practice states that as a social care worker, you must protect the rights and promote the interests of service users and carers, strive to establish and maintain the trust and confidence of service users and carers, promote the independence of service users while protecting them as far as possible from danger and harm, respect the rights of service users while seeking to ensure that their behaviour does not harm themselves or other people, uphold public trust and confidence in social care services, be accountable for the quality of your work and take responsibility for maintaining and improving your knowledge and skill. Especially important in communication and relationships are protecting the rights and promoting the interests of service users and carers, the maintenance of trust, confidence and accountability, and promoting independence while also protecting people from danger and harm. Establishing communication and building a relationship. When you're meeting a service user and or carer for the first time, what do you think it's important to do? Think about what you want the outcome to be. You want that person to feel valued, to have a say, to feel included, to feel that they can trust you and that you care about them. What helps you to achieve that? Here are a few suggestions. Use a tone of voice that is welcoming and use the person's name. Find out what this person likes to be called. Find out how this person communicates best, for example, through speech, signing, in English or another language. Adapt your communication to their needs. Find a way of communicating with them. Find out whether there are any obstacles to communication. These may be physical, for example, a lack of hearing or speech, emotional, for example, depression may make a person reluctant or unable to communicate very much, cultural, for example, there may be a difference of language or meaning attached to language. Do what you can to overcome these obstacles. You may, for example, need a signer. You may need a lot of patience to listen and interpret what someone is saying. Be genuine. Say what you mean and do what you say you'll do. Use empathy. This means trying to put yourself in the other person's shoes and imagining what it may be like to be them. How would you like someone to treat you if you were in this situation? Show warmth. What Carol Rogers 1991, calls unconditional positive regard. Here the person is accepted and their worth is unquestioned. Listen. Don't do all the talking. Ask open questions that give people an opportunity to say more than yes or no. For example, instead of saying, "Are you well?" you may ask someone to tell you about a typical day or how they feel when they're doing a particular activity. If you're going to assist someone at mealtime, you may ask, "Perhaps you can tell me how and when you like to have your lunch and what would you like to eat?" Devote as much time to communication as you can. Even if you have a lot to do, you can still enable a person to feel valued through the way you talk to them, and explaining gently if you really don't have time to stay for very long. Communicate when you're doing activities, and always explain why you're doing what you're doing. Personalise your communication. Ensure that it's appropriate for this person in these circumstances. Ensure your communication gives optimum power, choice, and control to the service user. Developing and maintaining a helping relationship. Communication, whilst at the heart of a helping relationship, is not its only component. What does a relationship need in order to optimise the service user's quality of life, ensure maximum independence and choice, and also safeguard the service user from possible danger or harm? There are many ways of looking at relationships, but here it is considered under these headings, which cover the main components of a helping relationship. Acceptance and respect. Confidentiality. Personalisation. Empathy. Being genuine. Showing warmth. Oomph. Acceptance and respect. Acceptance means taking people as they are without judging them. It requires an absence of prejudice and being active in terms of anti-discriminatory and anti-oppressive practice. It forms the basis for respect, which means unconditional regard for this person as a worthwhile human being. Service users have said the following about these qualities. A good care worker is someone who respects you as a person. I felt worth something and that I could make a difference. They listen to me and are non-judgmental. Confidentiality. Another aspect of respect is respect for the confidentiality of what the service user says. Confidentiality in a caring relationship is an extension of the principle of privacy, relating to promoting the service user's right to the privacy of information. It means protecting information from misuse, and only passing on information where it needs to be passed on, only to those who need to know it, and with the consent of the service user wherever possible. It doesn't mean total secrecy. In fact, sometimes keeping secrets is not helpful to good practice. Although personal information should be regarded as confidential, there are occasions when information must be shared. For example, in relation to the disclosure of child abuse, or where information is required as evidence in court proceedings. There are other occasions when information should be shared in the interests of good practice. Agency policy regarding confidentiality should be explained to the service user. There should be a negotiated agreement about its limits and boundaries, so that the service user understands how information will be used, as well as what is confidential and what is not. Personalisation. Personalisation is about people having the right to choose, the means to do it, and the right to make mistakes. It's about supporting people to make decisions and providing or supporting the carer to provide the support needed to enable this to happen. Personalisation is radical. It's not just about tinkering at the edges to modify services so they are more focused upon the needs of the service user. It means that care workers need to develop new and innovative ways to work with people so that they can choose what it is they would like assistance with, choose how they want this assistance delivered and in what circumstances, participate in and are fully included in the decision-making process. fulfil their responsibilities as citizens to the best of their ability, have as much control as they wish over the budget for their services, are enabled to be as independent as possible, are safeguarded and protected when this is necessary, rely on services that are joined up and work in collaboration with one another. The care worker always has to balance safeguarding responsibilities with optimising the full participation of people in determining how they live their lives. Empathy. Empathy is part of personalisation. Through empathy, the care worker is trying to see the world through the service user's eyes. Empathy needs the worker to listen to what the service user is saying and to be aware of non-verbal communication, then to respond in such a way as to demonstrate that what has been heard and observed is done from the user's point of view, not the worker's. Here's an example of empathy. A service user, Jesse Reed, says to you in a stressed and concerned way, "I'm worried about my daughter. I haven't heard from her for 3 weeks." If you say something like, "Don't be silly, I'm sure she'll be fine," the opportunity for discussion is lost, and so, probably, is the basis for a useful helping relationship. If, on the other hand, you respond to Jesse's concern saying something like, "I can see you're worried about your daughter. Would you like to tell me about her?" This opens the way for further discussion and shows that you're trying to understand the situation from Jesse's viewpoint. You're showing empathy. Being genuine. Being genuine is about being yourself and not pretending. Not pretending you have skills you don't have, not pretending you can solve a problem when you're not sure you can, not pretending to be something other than what you are. Here's the example of Joe, a care worker in a day centre for older adults. He enjoys his job and the people he works with. He usually arrives at work with a smile on his face, asks people how they are feeling and waits for their replies, is upset with everyone else when a service user is ill, admits that there are aspects of the job that he doesn't like too much, like dealing with incontinence, but is able to imagine what it must feel like to be incontinent. He is genuine because he behaves consistently so that people feel they can rely on him. He doesn't pretend and is confident enough not to need to. He is generally spontaneous, and when he smiles, he means it. He is honest about what he doesn't like, but has empathy with what it must feel like to be the other person. Showing warmth. Warmth is conveyed mainly through non-verbal communication and indicates that the worth of the service user is unquestioned and the person is accepted without conditions attached. Listen to this case study and identify the main skills of the care worker in communicating and relating to Ben. Ben is a young man in his early 20s who is deaf, partially sighted, and who has a degree of learning disability. He has no speech, though he can make signs and uses his own limited adaptation of British Sign Language, BSL, as a form of communication. He lives in a small residential unit run by a voluntary organisation. Ben's key worker has been very concerned to improve his quality of life and has, through communicating in every possible way, signing, touch, giving encouragement, time, company, sharing meals and activities, built up a trusting and beneficial relationship with Ben. One thing which it has been difficult to establish with Ben has been any kind of continuity or structure to his life. In order to enable Ben to participate fully in his own timetable of activities, and to empower him to exercise a degree of control over and choice about daily living, his key worker suggested the idea of a day planner, which they could work on together. This would enable Ben to shape his plans for each day, and subsequently have some idea of what to expect from it. Since he only possesses a short memory span, he can go to his planner to remind him about what he is doing next or at any particular time during the day. What has emerged after a long, slow process of working together is an absolutely enormous, colourful day planner, which is a magnetic board on the wall of Ben's room. There are symbols with words next to them for Ben to put on the planner to show all the things which he might do in a day, ranging from taking a shower or going to the day centre to a trip to McDonald's. If something crops up which Ben has not done before, a new sign is made and introduced just before the activity. A good deal of communication has already taken place. Communication used in forming a relationship, communication to establish what Ben likes doing, and the creation of a tool which communicates to Ben his plans for the day. But the tool is also being used as a further tool to enhance Ben's communication skills. He can say what he is going to be doing by indicating it on his day planner. The symbols for different activities are accompanied by words. Gradually, the symbols are becoming smaller and the words are becoming bigger, so that eventually Ben will be able to recognise an activity by the word for it rather than a symbol. Some of the skills you might have thought of in communicating and relating to Ben could be: the care worker shared the activity with Ben. Ben was fully included to the best of his ability. The care worker used a variety of means of communication according to Ben's needs. The worker demonstrated respect for Ben. The care worker recognised Ben's difficulties with verbal communication, hearing and sight, and worked with him to overcome these by using visual means large enough for him to see that could convey his choice of activity. Sharing with Ben the activity of making the day planner contributed to improving Ben's communication skills and to the care worker developing a positive, helping relationship with Ben. The care worker gave Ben as much choice, control, and independence as possible. Oomph! Ellen Lancaster developed this concept, see Miller 2007, page 64, and defined it as that bit extra. The ingredients necessary to form relationships are good communication, all the above components, the values and principles underpinning practice, a knowledge of human behaviour, a knowledge of the person, and also that bit extra, the oomph factor. To quote, the ingredients which bind together the oomph factor are as follows. Enthusiasm is ardent interest, eagerness, and includes encouraging and having a great faith in others. Care workers need to be energetic and possess inspiration in what they are practicing. If there is a day when the carer doesn't feel 100%, then it's best to apologise and explain this to the service user without going into too many details. The service user will then realise that any reserve is not because of them. Dedication is consistent support and commitment to the well-being of the service user. As far as possible, try to be reliable and let your service user know where you will be. When you do have to be away, always explain that you will not be there and state when you will be back. Vocation emphasises the professionalism of care work and that it is not just a job. Your heart has to be in caring for other people. If you work by the clock, you shouldn't be in care. Genuine interest includes being interested in all people, knowing people's likes and dislikes, frustrations, expectations, and also being truthful. Enjoyment and humour involve the worker in showing and feeling genuine pleasure in what they are doing and sharing successes or even failures, however great or small. What a difference a smile makes, and that pleasantness needs to be evident from the minute you start work until you finish. A real challenge. Positive self-disposition emphasises that the care worker should be confident and happy with him or herself in what he or she is doing, and striving to share this confidence and happiness with the service user. If the care worker doesn't feel this way, then the service user will sense it. There may be a time when the care worker doesn't feel happy. He should then reflect on and evaluate his own life to decide whether there are changes that need to be made.